and welcome or welcome back to Sex, Scandals, and Shenanigans. My name is Adrian, and I'll be your host. In this show, I discuss history and mythology's most notorious mistresses and lovers. After the episodes of Poseidon, we now venture back to real people. This episode will be focusing on Edith Swanwick, possible mistress or wife of King Harold Godwinson, one of the last Anglo-Saxon kings of England. As before, we need to review the definitions of a mistress. Per Cambridge Dictionary, a mistress is defined as a woman who holds or who has a sexual relationship over a long period of time with a man who is not her husband. Here's my contextual definition. A woman who has a sexual relationship with a man regardless of his marital state. We are returning back to Anglo-Saxon England, as I mentioned earlier. So let's dig into Edith's early life before her relationship with Harold Godwinson. Edith was born around 1025 in Wessex. Her father was Thorkel the Fair, and her mother, who was unnamed, was a daughter, possibly of Ethelred the Unready. So potentially her stepmother was Emma of Normandy, and this becomes important later on. Aside from some information about her parentage, her early life provides little information. Also, she was a woman, and not many records survive, unlike with Emma of Normandy, who wrote a compendium of her life, albeit from her point of view. However, we should also look into Harold Godwinson himself before moving on into their relationship. Harold was born around 1022 in Wessex, England as well. His father was Godwin, Earl of Wessex, and his mother was Githa, Thorkel's daughter. So he was a mix of Anglo-Saxon and Danish background. Harold had many siblings, including Tostig, Earl of Northumbria, Sven, Earl of Hertfordshire, Edith, Queen of England, Leofwine, Earl of Kent, Gyrth of East Anglia, and some other brother named Wulfnuth. Okay. Cool. Those names are fantastic. Harold's father, Godwin, was bequeathed the title of Earl of Wessex by the ruling king, Canute the Great. After Daddy Godwin died, the title of Earl of Wessex went to Harold. Most importantly, the Godwins were an influential and powerful family. The height of the family's achievement was when Harold's sister, Edith, became the wife of Edward the Confessor in 1045. This is from the relationship that Harold uses to cement his claim for the throne of England. Edward the Confessor had no children with Edith, and Edward died on January 5th, 1066, leaving a large power vacuum for leadership of the English kingdom. The Witan, or a pre-parliamentary government, elected Harold as Edward's successor. But Edward, while growing up in Normandy, may have offered the kingdom and crown to his cousin Guillaume of Normandy. If that name doesn't ring a bell, let's try the anglicized version, William of Normandy. Let's do another quick backup on the family tree. I'll try not to complicate it too much. Emma of Normandy was the sister of Richard II, Duke of Normandy. She was married to, initially, Ethelred the Unready, and from this union came Edward and Alfred. Alfred does not play a big role. Richard II's son was Robert II of Normandy, whose aunt was Emma. So, Emma was William's great aunt. Clear as mud, right? Cool. Therefore, William and Edward, the confessor, were first cousins once removed, shared same great-grandparents. Anyway, the Witan elected Harold, but Willie wasn't having it. So, how does this all relate to Edith Swanwick of Wessex? Well, she was considered Harold's first or common-law wife, though Edith could be explained as a mistress or concubine, as there are no marriage documents or proclamations of their marriage. So let's get to know Edith a bit, shall we? Edith was born around 1025 in Wessex to Thorkel the Tall, and possibly a daughter of Ethelred the Unready. Her epithet, Swanwick, comes from the folk etymology, which her name in Old English was Swanhenick or Swanwick. The possibility of her name having been corrupted from Swanhenish, meaning gentle swan. This alludes to her great beauty, which we're sure Harold must have enjoyed. Her father, Thorkel the Tall, was a Dane who participated in many military battles for the Danes, the English, and the North Sea Empire, also under Canute the Great. Because of his military successes, he became a wealthy landowner, which Edith became heiress in her own right. Edith's upbringing was a mix of Anglo-Saxon and Danish cultures. The Danes were mostly pagan followers of Odin, Frigga, Freya, and Thor. No, not the one from Marvel. Anyway, part of the Danes' cultural rituals included hand fasting. Per the Hastings Independent Press, a hand fasting is an acceptance of long-term sexual and emotional commitment using the binding of hands in a ceremony. So also think of Game of Thrones when people got married, they had the ribbon tied around their hands. In fact, my best friends got hand fasted, although it's also legally binding, hand fasted at their wedding in 2015. Good God, we're all old. Anyway,
I also just learned from the Hastings Independent Press that if the bindings were on the left hand, it was a shorthand commitment. However, if the right hands were bound, the intent was to love each other for life long. So, according to Hastings Independent Press, Edith and Harold were handfasted by their right hands, acknowledging a lifelong relationship akin to marriage. We can assume by the 1040s, Harold and Edith started their relationship. Hastings Independent Press also notes that Edith, as other historians claim, was not a mere concubine of Harold's, but rather their marriage was phrased more Danico.
We also need to keep in mind that Harold came from an Anglo-Danish family as well. And he would have also been familiar with the practices of handfasting, the way of the Danish, and not recognized by the Catholic Church. From their handfasted marriage, Edith bore Harold 6 children: Godwin, Edmund, Magnus, Gunhild, Geeta, and Ulf.
Let's talk about how marriages and alliances worked in the 11th century. For History Extra, couples did not need to marry in a church. They could get married down or at the pub, round at a friend's house, or even in bed. How convenient. As noted earlier, however, Edith and Harold's relationship did not go the Christian route, though Harold was a Christian and did donate to his local church as a way to stay in the spiritual good graces. They, as described earlier, had a hand fasting that was a normal practice for Danish or Scandinavian marriage custom. The Catholic Church would not have recognized Edith and Harold's marriage or union, as more Danico marriages or unions would allow for polygamy, which the Church did not condone. So, in the eyes of the Catholic Church, which most kings of England, at this time since Alfred the Great, the Catholic Church could have recognized Edith Swanneck as a mistress or concubine and not that of a wife. With the guesstimated birth year 1025, by around 1040, Edith would have been aged around 15, 16 years old, and which wouldn't be uncommon for women to either get married, handfasted, and start popping out babies. Their first son, Godwin, was born in the mid to late 1040s, making her in her late teens or early 20s when she birthed for her first child. I am not going to Margaret Beaufort this woman, okay? Let's just keep it real. As we are all aware, 1066 was a monumental year for a multitude of reasons, particularly for Harold. One, he had to go fight the Vikings, aka the Norwegians in this particular case, Harald Hardrada and his brother Tostig. Secondly, he had to fight a secondary battle with Tostig and Harald Hardrada. Two battles. And then, of course, October 14th, 1066 came along with William of Normandy. But prior to all of this, Harold gets married. This time, it's recognized by the church. To create a stronger hold on the English crown or the kingdom, Harold married the widow of Griffith ap Llewellyn. He was the last and only king of Wales to unite all of the Welsh land. After his death, like much of England, it split into separate minute kingdoms. With Griffith, she bore him 3 children. Again, this is Edith of Mercia. In 1063, after the death of Griffith, Edith of Mercia then married Harold Godwin. Unlike the relationship with Edith Swanneck, Harold's second relationship was seen, at least ecclesiastically, valid as it was a Christian ceremony or at least recognized by the church. There's speculation that Edith of Mercia bore Harold a son, Harold, but support for this theory is not universally acknowledged. Back to Edith Swanneck, as she's more important than Edith of Mercia here. 1066 arrived. Ooh boy! Harold, prior to October 1066, was invaded by Harald Hardrada, another claimant for the English throne, through Canute the Great. Let the battles begin. In September of 1066, Harald Hardrada brought his forces to fight against King Harold, or Harold Godwinson. At this point, I'm going to go by last names, so Hardrada and Godwinson, just to prevent any confusion. And if I'm talking about an Edith, it'll be Swanneck or Mercia. Thank you. Now, Harald Hardrada brought his forces and fought and defeated the Earl of Mercia, Edwin, and the Earl of Northumbria, Morcar, at the Battle of Fulford on the 20th of September 1066. Godwinson was a very busy king. The first battle was at the Battle of Fulford on September 20th, 1066. Unfortunately, the Earl of Mercia and the Earl of Northumbria were really well beat by Hardrada and his men. So, Harald Hardrada and Tostig, Harald's brother, had about 10,000 men, of which 6,000 were deployed, and about 1,000 died. For the Earl of Northumbria and the Earl of Mercia, They had about 3,000 men from Northumbria and about 1,800 from Mercia, so about 4,800, maybe 5,000 if we want to be nice. However, Mercia and Northumbria did experience multiple, if not heavy, losses during the Battle of Fulford. Because of the victory from Hadrada's men, the Viking army, or the Norse army, overwhelmed the Saxon army. Even though Mercia and Northumbria survived, the Norwegians, or rather the Norse, entered York, gathered supplies, and asked for hostages, as well as being able to fight 5 days later. Because that becomes important. 5 days later, the Battle of Stamford Bridge. To sum up the battle, on the 25th of September 1066, or as it was recounted by Snorri Sturluson's Heimskringla, before the battle commenced, a lone rider approached Hadrada and Tostig. Again, remember, Tostig is Godwinson's brother. The rider spoke to Tostig directly, offering him the return of his earldom if he switched sides against Hadrada. Tostig then asked the lone rider what Godwinson would be willing to give. 7 feet of English ground, as he is taller than other men. This references that the only price Tostig and Hadrada were going to get was killed and buried on English soil. What a lovely gift indeed. Gotta love family. Hadrada then asked who was that brazenly addressed Tostig. Tostig responded that the rider was his brother Harold Godwinson. According to historian Edward A. Freeman, this could be seen as an apocryphal story, meaning events were created well after the fact. So when the army of Hardrada was getting ready for battle, they were not expecting such a large military turnout from the English. Godwinson's army did have a delay in that there was a narrow choke point, or like a bottleneck in modern terms, at the Stamford Bridge. Legend, per Henry of Huntingdon, states, a 12th century English historian, who wrote Historia Anglorum, one of the Norwegian soldiers of Hardrada's army may have killed up to 40 men at the bridge with the Dane axe, a long two-handed axe wielded as a weapon. I would not want to be near one of those. Anyway, this Norwegian was later defeated when an English soldier was floating under the bridge and took his spear, thrust it between the bridge planks, and skewered the Norwegian soldier. You know, this is similar to how Edmund Ironside died. Either way, the soldier's point was made. Per Mark Morris in his book, The Anglo-Saxons, A History of the Beginnings of England, 400 to 1066. When the Norwegians lost, the leaders tried to flee back to their ship at the town of Rickle, but Godwinson's English forces pursued and executed, if not slaughtered them outright, as they were retreating. Hardrada's son Olaf, actually known as Olaf III or Olaf the Peaceable, I think? Anyway, I don't think he's dressed up as a snowman from Frozen. Anyway, so Olaf was spared on the condition that he would never return and start shit again in England. Of the 300 ships that departed Norway, only 24 sailed back home. This was a decisive victory for Godwinson and the English kingdom. But Godwinson had another issue and invasion to face only 3 days later. Guillaume de Normandie, Billy the Butcher, Billy the Bastard, or William the Conqueror has arrived. William may have made his entrance into the English Isle, but in the meantime, where's Edith of Mercia, or more importantly, Swanneck? The easy answer is neither Edith of Mercia nor Edith Swanneck were anywhere near the battles of Fulford or the Battle of Stamford. Bridge. I should note the Battle of Stamford Bridge, both Tostig, Godwinson's brother, and Harald Hardrada both died. Now we come to the big battle. It should be noted that this time Harald, now going by Harald, no longer need to call him Godwinson, Harald Hardrada's dead. Harald was married to Edith of Mercia, while still having Edith Swanneck as his mistress, or rather More Danica, concubine, not necessarily recognized as his wife, as per Edith of Mercia. On the 12th of September, after hearing Godwinson, back in January 1066, was elected and crowned king by the Witan, Duke William II of Normandy sailed with his fleet towards England. However, due to the storms of the English Channel, William had lost several ships and had to find shelter at Saint-Valery-sur-Somme, located in Upper France, the most northern part of France, or the French coast, and had to await the changes in the wind and weather before resuming his invasion. About 2 weeks later, William arrived to the coastal town of Pevensey in East Sussex on the 27th of September 1066. Because Godwinson heard of the invasion of William, holding the belief that he was heir to Edward the Confessor, as he may have promised the throne to his cousin, Godwinson and his men marched over 200 miles, more like 240, to meet up with William's forces. William's military continued contingency may have included 7,000 men, but the exact numbers are not certain. It is estimated that William had about 7,000 to 13,000 men, and Godwinson had about 5,000 to 13,000 men. So again, numbers are not concrete. Two of Godwinson's other brothers, Gurth and Leofine, fought at the Battle of Hastings. The battle began early in the morning around 9 a.m. on Saturday, the 14th of October, 1066. The battle lasted until dusk, which lasted about 9 hours. Chronicler William of Jumieges, a contemporary writer during the battle, wrote and reported that William kept his army at the ready against a potential night attack on the 13th of October, 1066. The battle itself took place near Hastings, slightly north, in present day of Battle. Yes, that's the name of the town, about 50 miles southeast of London. The battle was fought between two hills, Caldbeck and Tilham Hill. Fun fact, the hills are alive with death and destruction. Okay, look, I am not Julie Andrews, but I tried, okay? These weren't exactly prime fighting areas because it was very wooded and there was marshlands about too. As stated, the battle commenced around 9 a.m. on the 14th. Archers were used from both armies, but because the forces were fighting amongst the hills, arrows hitting their targets was hard and the arrows may have sailed over the troops, thereby preventing arrow reusage. After the archers attacked, William ordered spearmen to attack forward towards the English. After the spearmen, the cavalry was made to advance. No such headway was made. William's forces started to retreat from who the fuck knows, and a rumor was then starting to spread that William was killed in action. This didn't help the military, which only added more confusion for the troops. But this rumor was false, and William appeared, giving them a rallying speech, probably something like in Braveheart. Well, more likely that he yelled at his men that he wasn't dead. Well, they, William's forces, led a counterattack and pursued the English, but the English became overwhelmed by the surge and were overtaken. Harold did order his men to stay in their formations, as recalled by Robert Wace, a Norman poet, but other information is limited as to what the other instructions may have been. Per the Bayeux Tapestry, which was commissioned by William's wife, Matilda of Flanders, relates that the death of Harold's brothers Gurth and Leofine. With their deaths may have occurred early in battle, or it could have happened later. We're not sure. One other source, Carmen de Hestinge Prolio, which is attributed to Guy, the Bishop of Amiens, which was written during the time of the battle from September to December 1066, states that William himself slew Gurth. More importantly, the most important death in this battle is that of Harold himself. Sources telling or describing the battle are not only numerous, but vary from all perspectives. According to the Bayeux Tapestry, which is extremely biased towards William and his supporters, of course, weaves the story that Harold was shot in the eye by an arrow and he was falling next to another fighter and being hit with a sword. The arrow in the eye story comes from dating around the 1080s. Here are some notable accounts. I'm going to give this to you, Tuck later didn't read version, so here we go. Amadeus of Monte Cassino, an Italian monk, History of the Normans during the 1080s, and Harold dies from an arrow to the eye. William of Malmesbury, Harold died from an arrow to the eye into the brain, and that he was mortally wounded by a knight. Robert Wace recounts the same arrow in the eye account. The Carmen from earlier, that I'm not going to repeat because that's a horrible name for me to say, states that William killed Harold. William of Jumieges states Harold dying in the morning after the battle and during the first fighting. Historians find this retelling from William Jumieges highly unlikely. Modern biographer of Harold, Ian Walker, author of Harold the Last Anglo-Saxon King, asserts that Harold probably died from an arrow to the eye, though possibly struck down by a Norman knight. But other writers also speculate that Harold died cannot be clearly declared. Guess who else was at the Battle of Hastings? Not Edith of Mercia, but Edith Swan. So that brings us back to Edith the Fair, or Edith Swanneck. Where was she at? 1066 was a busy year for her as well. Per the site history, theinteristingbits.com, it wasn't Edith of Mercia waiting and supporting her husband during the Battle of Hastings, rather Edith the Fair Swanneck, who was with Harold. Edith Swanneck, okay, the names are easier, but God. Can everyone just stop being named Edith, Matilda, or Harold? That'd be great, thanks. Anyway, Edith was there supporting her man. As I mentioned earlier, Harold's brother Gurth and Leofine both died, and we know Harold died as well. His mother Githa lost all of her sons in the battle, Tosser didn't die, but he hightailed it to Scotland after Stamford Bridge. After learning about Harold and his brother's death, there's a story, more so apocryphal again, that Edith Swanneck was the only person to identify Harold's body after the battle, due to her being his ham-fasted partner. Recounters of the death of Harold write that Githa and Edith combed through the bodies looking for Harold. Githa was unable to identify her son's lifeless body. It all came down to Edith to find Harold. She did, and she identified the bodies by undoing chainmail in order to find the identifying marks on Harold's body. The site alleges something to the tune of tattoo. Once found, Harold was then given a proper Christian burial at Waltham Abbey. That's the one he used to donate to many, many moons ago. So now that Harold died, Willie's in charge. Now what? Like many English supporters, most fled to safer areas. Githa, Harold's mother, went into exile with her granddaughter, Githa, her granddaughter, probably named after her. They ended up going to Denmark. Githa the Younger married the Prince of Smolensk, modern-day Poland, and then she married the Prince of Kiev, modern-day Ukraine. Sons of her and Harold fled to Ireland, but one son, Wulfnuth, was still in England as a political hostage under William. Wulfnuth died in 1094, outliving William I, William II, and into Henry I's reign. Another son, Ulf, was also held hostage, but was released by William I in 1087 when William lay dying. As for Edith herself, no one knows or no one recollects what happened to her after 1066, but it is stated that she died in 1086, 20 years after the conquest. So, as we finally conclude this episode, we need to ask if Edith Swanneck can be considered a mistress of Harold Godwinson. My short answer is that yes, Edith Swanneck / Edith the Fair, because we know she's the same lady, was a concubine / mistress to Harold Godwinson. Even though he may have been loyal to her for the majority of their relationship and for essentially their lives, Edith was not considered a wife. And I'll explain again, or I'll reiterate again. Their relationship was not recognized by the Catholic Church. More Danico, again in the Danish way, was more like a handfasting, as I explained earlier, and is not considered a true marriage, as More Danico allows for polygamy, whereas within the church, the Catholic Church, polygamy is not condoned. Number 2. Harold married in 1066 to Edith of Mercia, the widow of Griffith ap Llewellyn, which was recognized by the church, and therefore Edith Swanneck was not considered a true wife in their eyes. And by they, I mean the Catholic Church. This isn't the only relationship that has twists and turns. We'll get to those in future episodes. I also want to mention that Edith Swanneck's legacy is that of a loved woman by her ham-fasted husband. They were together for at least 20 years prior to his other marriage and, of course, his death. So yes, Edith Swanneck, or Edith the Fair, is a mistress, as she was not legally or ecclesiastically married within the bounds of the Catholic Church. Also, she was not recognized as an English queen like Emma of Normandy or Edith of Mercia. So she has earned the privilege, per the definition of a mistress, to be deemed a mistress. Just wanted to say thank you for joining me in today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please stay tuned as a new episode will be available soon. As always, try not to get into any shenanigans yourself, as I just may end up telling your story. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you wish to reach out to the show, you can email me at sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com. Thank you for joining me on today's episode. Have a good one, and until next time, bye!